Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, Birth of Lord Krishna, I guess 29, is that it? Janmate maya so papo. Mavidyan marusurna. Samud vigje bhavadeto. Kangsaraham adir. Adiradi. Janma, the birth. Day of your lordship. Mai, in my womb. Asau, that kangsa. Papa, extremely sinful. Ma vidyat. May be unable to understand. Madhusudana, O Madhusudana, Samudvijay, I am full of anxiety. Bhavat Heto, because of your appearance. Kangsat, because of Kangsa, with whom I have had such bad experience. Let's try it again. Because of Kangsa, with whom I have had such bad experience. Aham, I, Adiradi, have become more and more anxious. O Madhusudana, translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Madhusudana, because of your appearance, I'm becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kangsa. Therefore, please arrange for that sinful Kangsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. Purport. Devaki addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Madhusudana. She was aware that the Lord had killed many demons like Madhu, who are hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than Kangsa. Yet because of affection for the transcendental child, she believed that Kangsa could kill him. Instead of thinking of the illimited power of the Lord, she thought of the Lord with affection. And therefore she requested the transcendental child to disappear. Here is an example of how the spiritual energy is the original, and our material experience here is the reflection. Just like here, we can know that we're not the body by hearing from Krishna, that the body is changing, but we don't take it very seriously. Although with our intelligence, which is our only means of understanding things properly, we can see, yes, I'm eternal. But because our minds are clouded, therefore, we don't take it very seriously that we're eternal. We act as if, or we have a split personality. In psychology or psychiatry, they say we're a little schizophrenic. We know we're something, but we don't really believe it, although we know it. And therefore, we act as if we're this body, although we know we're not. Similarly, in the spiritual consciousness, one knows that one is eternal, but one acts as if he's not. One knows that Krishna is eternal, but one acts or believes something else. But it's spiritual. Here, whatever we believe, it makes no difference, because we're still under the material energy. We may understand we're eternal, but still we're fearful of having to leave this body, because we don't know where we're going to go eternally. In the spiritual world, one realizes the eternal and that their material circumstances are not the real thing, but one still accepts them as real, although one has realized it is actually on the spiritual platform. But that reality of the material world is no longer reality, it's spiritual. Everything that the devotee is conscious of has a spiritual effect, Therefore, although one may be fearful of Krishna's safety, but that transcendental love is still a spiritual experience. Although it is seemingly it's a material conception, but it's not a material conception. This is simply out of affection for Krishna that one thinks like that. In any case, Devaki and all the other devotees, because of their dependency upon Krishna, in one sense, although she's Krishna's mother, still out of affection, she depending on her own existence for Krishna's existence, out of great affection. So therefore, our real existence starts with trying to become identifying ourselves with Krishna, and although we may, first of all, try to have awe and reverence for Krishna, understanding how Krishna is everywhere, and that everything is controlled by Krishna, but that's just to get us out of the idea that somehow or another we're independent. But even more important than that is to understand how nice Krishna is. Although Mother Devaki, Vasudeva, had realization that Krishna himself was standing before them, the source of the entire creation, still they were in love with Krishna. So in one sense, although there's Aishwarya being displayed here, but actually Aishwarya is not the primary consciousness of even the devotees in Vaikuntha. The primary consciousness is how beautiful and how wonderful Krishna is. Just that their love for Krishna in a particular rasa, Dasya rasa, or here we have Vatsalya rasa, has some element of awe and reverence. But that awe and reverence is also spiritual, so they're aware that Krishna is not Lord Narayan is not an ordinary person. Although his beauty is unsurpassed, and therefore they're enamored by his beauty, and he's also unlimitedly kind and merciful to his devotees, still, there's some element that they understand his opulence. Well, here, although Vasudeva and Devaki are praying with very nice prayers about how wonderful, how great Krishna is, but they don't take it very seriously. What they really take seriously is how beautiful Krishna is and how dependent of Krishna is on their mercy. Just like we don't, although we know we're eternal, but we don't take it seriously. So though they know Krishna is God, they don't take it seriously. That seriously, because of their love for Krishna. Because of our love for this body, therefore we don't take our eternity very seriously. We're so much enamored by this body, we'd rather be in Maya than be eternal. Out of love. In other words, everyone needs something to love, and when one is in love with something, then one becomes absorbed in it and takes that more seriously than even one's own personal identity. So when we're in love with Krishna, we have one type of consciousness, and when we're in love with this body, we have another type of consciousness. One obscures our vision of Krishna as being God, and the other one obscures our vision of the fact that this body is not God. We take it as our God, as our supreme, our lovable object, and we're afraid of it. In other words, we spend our time in Dasya Rasa trying to take care of this body. And in the spiritual world, in Dasya Rasa or Vatsalya Rasa, whatever, then we try to take care of Krishna's body. So that's the only thing. What we're trying to take care of, either something in the material world, this body, or our child, or our so-called lover, or we're trying to take care of something in relationship to this body, and the spiritual world is all in relationship to Krishna, that's all. So worshippers we have to be, the question is who we're going to worship. Now when we try to focus our attention on Krishna, because that's all we can really do is try, make an effort. It's like if... Is that a kirtan? Hare Krishna, Hare. From this hearing about Krishna, even the iPhone becomes, or this, even the phone becomes ecstatic. So, this, all we can do is try to focus our mind upon Krishna, because just like if you want to lift a weight, a heavy weight, you can't start immediately by lifting the entire weight. You have to start with a smaller amount of weight. And then gradually as your muscles increase, then one can actually lift the higher amount of weight. So in the similar way, it's not really possible to just immediately focus our mind completely on Krishna, because we're conditioned souls, and therefore have a tendency to become attached to this material energy. And we only have a little tendency to become attached to the spiritual energy. The fire may be very blazing and hot, but if we're 2 miles away from it, we can only feel a little of its heat. But if we feel even a little of the heat and become attracted to it, then we may come a little closer to the fire. But if there's something on the other side, away from the fire, luring us away, sometimes we take 2 steps forward and 1 step back to make sure we don't miss out anything going on behind us. But as one gets spiritual strength, as Krishna says, thus by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Tasmatvam indriyanyado niyamyam varatarshva patmanam prajihiyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. Let's go back a little bit from that verse. Before that is indriyani mano buddhir asya dishtanam uchate etera vimohadyatyesha jnanam arityadehinam. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. In other words, Prabhupada said that the enemy has captured different strategic points in this body. Lust is known as the Ari, the Vara. Krishna said to Arjuna that it is lust only, Arjuna. Ta kena pryuktoyam papam charati purusha anicham napi varshneya baladiva niyojana. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is all devouring sinful enemy of this world, which later transforms into wrath, which is the all devouring sinful enemy of this world. So, where is lust? How does lust begin? Does anyone know? How is lust feed into our body? How does it enter? What's that?
Seeing?
Yeah. Maybe. No. No, not necessarily. Say you were a dog. Well, because it's not a good example. Say you were a little baby. Say you were 5 years old. And you saw a couple embracing. What would it do for you? So how does it actually enter? Where is lust entering?
Through the mouth.
Don't open your mouth. No, it doesn't enter through the mouth. How does it get into the mind? Wow. We're like innocent little babies here in Krishna. We don't even know how we're being conditioned. We're just blindly going through life. Ah. What's that?
Desire.
Desire. But how do we get desire? A 5-year-old child has desire. for a romantic relationship. Of course, sometimes they say like that, but it's not really true. That little boy who comes, what's his name? What's that? Jagannath.
No, Jagannath.
Do you think Jagannath has a romantic relationship with the ladies here?
Oh.
Where does lust enter into our mind? How does it enter into our consciousness? No, we're all pure devotees, so we don't know. We're way beyond this.
Envious.
We're in the spiritual world. No, that's not. No, but hearing. What's that? You never heard, thought that hearing is where lust enters into the mind? No, hearing about the glories of sense gratification. Then when lust enters into our mind, when we, along with the vibration of the person who's talking, glorifying or writing about the glories of sense gratification, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then there, along with that sound, there is consciousness of the person is entering into us. Is that your finger doing an exercise or yeah. No, it wasn't because of that.
But that was the time when he actually gave up his wife and married
the prostitute. Well, he must have heard something. If he was the same mentality of a 5-year-old boy, he wouldn't have been affected by it. But obviously he had heard the glories of sense gratification. Maybe he hadn't seen it in that way, but when he saw it, then it entered into his consciousness. He became curious what it would be like. He heard about it. He knew about it. After all, he was married. It wasn't that he understood what a woman was. Otherwise, how could he have gotten married? What's that? Okay. Good luck. But when he saw it in action, then he became a little curious, because otherwise, I don't know what his relation with his wife was, but still, when he saw lust fully developed, then he became curious what it would be like, that's all. So hearing is the beginning of trying to, when we hear the glories of sense gratification, then we become curious what it would be like to gratify my senses. Because they glorify it, it's so wonderful, all the you know, here I haven't seen the. Generally, most of the advertisements in the billboards are all about eating here. They're always advertising something to eat. Isn't that right? And then there's something, but of course, there's always some man and woman on it to make it a little bit more attractive. You never see an ugly person on the billboard. What's that?
You said that you never see an old grandma.
An old what?
Old grandmother.
Old grandma. Unless it's for a retirement home or something like that. Then it's a very attractive old grandma. Smiling. You'll see some old depressed lady come to our come to our old age home. She's bent over. So, lusty intelligent, then when one hears about the glories of gratifying the senses, then the soul becomes attracted. It's ourselves who can become attracted. And we think, well, yeah, let me experience it. Maybe it's actually so good. We forget that actually it wasn't so good. I've done this millions and billions of times in the past, since time immemorial. It's always giving me the same experience, little sweetness in the beginning and poison at the end. But let me try it one more time and get a little taste of sweetness. Maybe this time it's going to be different. Maya will be merciful to me. So then the soul gives lust the intelligence, as Prabhupada writes, influences the soul to acquire a false ego by which he identifies himself with mind and senses for sense gratification. Because without the false ego, sense gratification is not very enjoyable. It's not as enjoyable as we'd like it to be anyhow, but without the false ego, we think, well, I'm a little soul and this sensors are contacting the objects and I'm getting in trouble by it and it's not really giving me anything worthwhile for myself. It's not very exciting. Too much intelligence spoils everything. If you're with your lover and you tell, you know, by the way, do you know what the body is actually made of? It kind of dampens the romantic feeling. Did you know that you're just a bunch of bones inside? So ignorance is bliss. Therefore, tasmatvam indriyanyado niyamyam varatarshava patmanam brajihiyenam jnanam vijnanam nashyanam. Therefore, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of lust, Arjuna, by regulating the senses. And what's the most important sense to regulate? And what does the tongue do? Yes. So, but we don't know what to eat unless we hear. So hearing, and we don't know what to speak unless we, someone's vibrating. So still, hearing about Krishna, someone vibrating about Krishna, and eating Krishna prasadam. This is how Krishna consciousness enters into us, into our stomach, into our, becomes part of us, and at the same time enters into our consciousness by hearing. Because first we have to hear before we can vibrate. And what do we have to hear about Krishna consciousness? Indriyani manobudhir asya dishtanam uchate eteravimahodyatyesha gyanam. No, that's not right. Indriyani paranyahur indriyavyak paramanak manasastu paraobudhir yobudhe paratastu saha. That the working sensors are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So in other words, we have to become aware of the fact that we have the ability to conquer the senses, to utilize the senses in Krishna's service. It's our determination, it's our desire that will influence whether or not we're using our senses for sense gratification or we're using our senses for devotional service. And the only way we can utilize our senses actually for devotional service is when we use our intelligence to connect with Krishna. So principally we're just trying to connect with Krishna somehow while in the midst of the modes of material nature. See Krishna as the light of the sun and the moon or in the water or in the ability of man, how Krishna is explaining himself in the Bhagavad Gita. So somehow or another our intelligence connects with him. Intelligence means the ability to see things. Now, if we don't see that this water is connected with Krishna, then anything is my water. They gave it to me. And now I'm going to enjoy it. So much water do I have today. And I gain more in the future. So if I don't think in relation with Krishna, if something as innocent as water, don't fault me for drinking water, be a fanatic. If I don't see in relation with Krishna, then I'm in Maya, and it just becomes ordinary water. But if I see in relation with Krishna, then it becomes as good as the Ganges, practically speaking. And Krishna is there. So I have a choice. Either I can see things in relation to Krishna, and if I, the idea is I'm giving class and I want to speak better to please Krishna, to serve his mission, then I take the water as an act of service to Krishna, then Krishna consciousness is more there. Not perfectly there, but more there than if Krishna, it wasn't an act of devotion, taking the water. So we're not just trying to think, oh, the sun and the moon is coming from Krishna, and therefore Krishna is so kind, he's going to give me a tan. I'm going to look really snazzy. No, that's not the idea. The idea is Krishna is giving me the sun and moon so that I can utilize this in Krishna's service. So I can get the energy to serve Krishna better with it. Then it becomes devotional. But evam bude puram budva samstam yatmana atmana jahi shatru mahabaho kamarupam darashadam. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, the mind and the intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. In other words, we should become convinced that my only shelter is Krishna. That by myself, I'm not going to be very successful in conquering lust or anger or anything else. Only when I take shelter of Krishna will I get spiritual strength to conquer over the lower modes of nature. Or any of the modes of nature. Therefore, by spiritual strength, which was coming from Krishna, we have a little determination, some intelligence, and we utilize it, connect with Krishna, see things in relation to Krishna. In other words, see how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. When Ambarish Maharaj was being attacked by Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni threw a fiery demon at Ambarish Maharaj, he didn't curse Durvasa Muni or run away or... No, he focused on Krishna, knowing that nothing is going to happen without Krishna. And I, at this moment, I have to become even more intensely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So it served to actually strengthen his relationship with Krishna. So therefore, by able to see things in relation with Krishna, even at the hour of death, one can see that is Krishna's arrangement, and one will further focus one's consciousness upon Krishna. And therefore, by spiritual strength, conquer over any impediments to going back to the spiritual world, being a spiritual consciousness. So that's the whole idea. Somehow or another, Devaki is in love with Krishna. Doesn't really matter whether or not she sees Krishna as God or not. In any case, she's always in love with him. The love intensifies, though, when it's in Vatsalya Rasa, which doesn't really exist in this in Vaikuntha. Therefore, she's not just a Vaikuntha Vasi. She's one of the Vatsalya Rasa, with some tinge of awe and reverence, temporarily at least. So, we have to have some vision of this body, how to utilize it, and although we're in love with it, still we want to engage in Krishna service for his own sake and for our own sake too. Therefore, we have to see that we're in love with this body, but if we want to, and we're in love with ourselves, because that's why we're in love with the body, because we believe if I please the body, then I'll be happy too. Just like a devotee, he knows if he pleases Krishna, then he'll be happy. Spiritually happy. So we know if we please the set body and the senses, we get a little happiness, a little security, whatever else. So we should, but it's all in relation to ourselves. Therefore we should understand our real interest is not just the body, although we have an interest in the body, but to utilize the body in Krishna service is our ultimate interest for ourselves. And therefore we conquer this insatiable enemy of lust with our intelligence, seeing things properly, how everything is related to Krishna, knowing we have to take shelter of Krishna through Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and the super soul in our heart, so we do something to please Krishna. And then Krishna will be very kind. He'll reveal himself, at least within our memory. Our memory will not become bewildered, and therefore delusion will go away when we remember Krishna, and therefore we'll be able to conquer over and reverse anger, greed, and lust, because Krishna is there, and therefore all these things will dissipate and go away gradually. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Difference between fear, material fear, and spiritual fear. What is material fear and spiritual fear?
Well, it's the fear is about this body. Material fear concerns things in the material world, fearing this body or things in relation to this body. Ultimately fearing that for ourselves in relation to the material world. When that same fear is applied to Krishna, then it's spiritual. We're afraid something might happen to Krishna or Krishna's devotee or to our service or something in relation to Krishna. So that's spiritual. If Krishna is there, it's spiritual. And when Krishna is not there, then it's material. Because even though we're not trying to become, even in the spiritual world, that the devotees, even though they're in the spiritual world, they're fearful sometimes that something might happen to Krishna or to Krishna's devotee. But that intensity helps them focus their consciousness upon Krishna even more. And therefore they develop, their love for Krishna is multiplied when they're fearful concerning Krishna. Just as our material consciousness is multiplied when we're fearful of something in relation to this body or things in relation to the body. Anything else?
Well, we hear many times that we are not this body. But how to handle with this body? If body all the time reminds you, I'm here, I feel pain, it hurts me sometimes.
What is the
I cannot walk, I cannot sit, I can. What? To be all the time in this consciousness that I'm a spiritual soul and I try to tolerate.
That's not possible to just like.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to chant Hare Krishna. Trying to become absorbed in Krishna.
More and more absorbed with body, service, and chant.
Just like, if you thought about Venom Kwanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham, that's Krishna holding a flute. Can you imagine a flute? You know, a flute.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, anyhow. So when we practice imagining Krishna, then we'll actually experience Krishna. Just like if you're that is Krishna. Just like if you have a toothache. Have you ever had a toothache?
Just once in my life.
So, people have toothaches and they're in pain, but then their favorite soccer game is on.
They forget.
Because they're absorbed in something else. So when we're absorbed in thinking about Krishna, we'll forget about this body. Just like when we go to sleep at night, we're not even aware of the body anymore. Because we're absorbed in something else. Everything depends on where we're putting our consciousness, our awareness.
When I'm here, for example, when I'm here, it's easier for me to absorb in this Krishna consciousness. I easier chant. And when I'm with people, with devotees,
what the coincidence?
Yeah, so don't leave. They'll find a place here in the ashram.
Yeah, forget about my troubles. And then when I step outside, then I remember, oh my God, everything hurts.
Yeah, when we're here, we pick up a little halo when we walk into the room. And as soon as we walk out. Anything else? Kuala, Grantaraj, Mad Bhagavatam, Kijaj.